Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville, Episode 18 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and please leave a review.
Indeed. And, you know, I don't know how I should feel about this right now, but we just got pineapple already. We just started. Thank you, Yolanda. I mean, seriously, what are we doing
here? Thought we were getting rid of pineapples, apparently.
Apparently not. You know what? I think this is where the pineapples came, right here, apparently. Oh, my God, man. How you been, man?
It's been a long day. I'm on that dark liquor today. Got some Woodford Reserve. Yeah, it's just been a long one. And watching this, I'm glad they're not still in Gatlinburg.
Yes, I know. Jeez, I'm glad they finally left.
That was the longest weekend I've ever seen.
That was a weekend at Bernie's. Jeez, we were all dead by the time they got to seriously.
Yeah.
You know, so the couples return home a few days away from decision day. And you know what? Well, why don't we start with the one that this couple right here, man. Let's start with the guy that's actually I'm stalling here. There we go. Mr. Gatlinburg. Jasmine and Harris.
Okay, I was curious to see where they're going to go because I always feel like there's a spin from my, four seasons of watching the show where it starts out one way and you think maybe, and then there's Eris who's like, nope, let me prove you right. This is not going to work out. So Eris thanked Jasmine for making the couple's treat fun and lit. And I just laughed when he said that she's shown improvement working on the things that they discussed. Yeah. I was like, wow, she's shown improvement?
Right. You know, here's the thing about it too, though. The one thing that I think kind of irked me about this conversation they had was when Eris said that, well, you know, because as she brings up the whole intimacy thing, and, you know, she's like, well, you know, I have no issue if you would initiate the intimacy, like, you know, a hand grab here, there. I'm like, I know you were Mr. Gatlinburg getaway, right? But when did Jasmine put on the pants and you put on the pageant dress? When did this happen?
See, I think it was maybe an episode or two ago where I said Eris just needs to just come at her and go at it. Mm-hmm. And apparently he wants her to do those things. And when he asked her, what do you need from me? She kept saying, you know, a safe space. And all that, and you know, maybe we can work more on the intimacy. I'm like, the intimacy is not going to happen for him. You know, while they're sitting there in the bed having this conversation, in my mind, I'm like, intimacy is not going to happen. And he's telling her to, you know, hold his hand or initiate a hug. I'm like, why?
Yeah. It's the biggest farce. I mean, we know it. We can see it. And he's just really not that into her. And ladies, if the guy's like, you know, well, maybe you should initiate, that tells you a whole lot. Remember, it should tell you everything.
Yeah. You don't touch me enough. Well, you don't touch me.
You know, it's like when you're like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. Well, I haven't called anybody. Yeah. That's not what I said.
I've been busy. You know how it is in the IT world.
Well, look, so after this, we see we see Jasmine and Gina go out pole dancing, right? Mm-hmm. Thoughts. Easiest way to just put it. Just thoughts. Is it better than the last time when they did it on the other season, the San Diego season?
So I will say Jasmine has some pole dancing skills, but I think Jasmine can dance. We know she can move. Gina, stay in your lane. This isn't for you.
Did you not notice her athleticism, you know, how athletic she was when she, you know, to jump and do that twirl around? She got a whole half an inch off the ground. Did you not notice Gina get half an inch off the ground?
Well, but did you also notice, and I can't stand this, if you're going to do the whole squat, whatever that move is called, I'm old, I forget what it's called. Mm-hmm. Is that the percolator? Is that what that is?
That's twerk, man.
Is it twerk? Okay, sorry. I'm old. whiskey. She does the whole stick her tongue out thing. I just hate girls that do like, just dance and do it. Leave the tongue in your mouth and just
you
dance.
You didn't tell Michael Jordan to put his tongue back in his mouth when he was going to the basket and trying to
dunk. I said dancing. That's totally different. I said dancing.
I'm just checking. Look, it says J2 Negro says Gina was throwing it back. No, she was throwing her back. There's a difference. There is a difference, okay?
So they're getting some training on how to work the pole. Mm-hmm. And then Eris walks in like the Don. It's like, hello, ladies. I am here. And then makes it rain on Jasmine a little bit. And then his dumbass says, do you have to get a certification to be a stripper?
I like it. She's like, yeah. I have no idea what the qualifications are to be a stripper.
Is that what Gina's going to say? I went to hair school, then I went to stripper school.
Oh, my God. This is, you know, the interesting thing I thought about them going to this this pole dancing and was the reason why they went, right? Because Jasmine says their husbands are not attracted to them and that's why they're going, right? But I don't recall, and maybe you can remind me here, and feel free in the live chat to correct me if I'm wrong, but did Clint ever say he wasn't attracted to Gina? Or nope. Did he just say that he usually dates more fit, athletic women?
Yes, that's what he said.
Okay.
He didn't say he wasn't attracted to her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm sorry, if you're not attracted to somebody, seeing them spin around the pole to me is not going to change it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to change it. Either I'm attracted to you or I'm not.
Well, I mean, for some people, the pole is the be all end all to sexiness.
I don't know. I mean, there's some people I'm not attracted to now, and I don't care how many poles they spin around. It's not going to make a difference. We're friends or acquaintances, and that's it.
Yeah. You stay over there.
Yeah, you stay on that pole. I'm going to stay over here on this pole. Don't you come towards my pole.
Oh, man. They get back to... So they're back at the house, and Eris and Jasmine exploring the sexy side, right?
That's okay, what we're going to call that?
Yeah, okay. Let's not. Let's not even... Let's put it like this. They get the same sex toys that Clint and Gina had, right? And they had an even less sexy session than that. I was like, yo, can this be any worse? We thought Clint and Gina was bad. This was horrible.
Their sex box, it looked like it came from IKEA. Like you're about to put together something and, all right, babe, we're going to put together the cabinets. You ready to do this? There was no romance. There was no sex. And it's like, oh, we got a feather. Read the manual. Where does the feather go? Okay, now we got handcuffs. Where's the manual? Where's the handcuffs go? Is this stuff extra? Do we need it? Do we not need it? It's like IKEA. It was terrible watching them with that. And I think it was worse than Clint and Gina. And so I'm watching, Eris, of course, take advantage of all the stuff being done to him and not as much. But I will give him his props. He gave her a foot rub. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't rub someone's feet that I don't want to do anything more with. If I'm not attracted to you, I'm not rubbing your feet. I'm not anti-feet. Let me just get that out of the way. Yanni, I'm sure, has his opinion about feet. All I'm saying is, I don't give a foot massage to somebody. It's like in Pulp Fiction. A foot massage means something.
Look, center stage with Gigi says, ashy feet. And that goes to both. Because I know you're starting, of course. First of all, Jasmine tried to tickle Eris's feet with a feather. Look. You can't tickle concrete, okay? And you can't tell me that ninja's feet look like pure concrete.
Kunta's been running around in the fields for a long time.
That was the sidewalk out in front of my house.
Yeah. You are not Kizzy. He is not chasing you. His feet have a lot of layers. He's not feeling a tickle.
Look, if he runs on the grass separates because it doesn't want to be trampled, okay? That's how hard their feet look. That was like, Jesus Christ. But to be fair, and the producers did that, they went back a couple of times to make sure we all saw that. I'm like, please, can you get it off my TV screen? I'm about to kick my TV over with my soft feet, lotion feet. Not dry, crusty feet like this. But then they show hers, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Hers are crusty too.
This is why they got matched. Maybe this is why they got matched. Dr. Pepper was like, you know what? I saw her feet and I saw his feet and I just thought, sandpaper, it goes together.
Sandpaper and sandpaper. They can smooth each other out. Just make sure you have a fire extinguisher by the bedside because the sparks. Yo, and then, you know, the thing about it is when you had, again, the whole thing was so unsexy. Even the foot massage was unsexy, right? And then the hand massage was unsexy. But then, like Nikki B says, Jasmine almost tore Eris's back off when she
I did see that. Off. I was like, what are you trying to... It's like she was scrubbing a skillet that hadn't been washed.
Yes. She got the Brillo pad.
She put her back into that. I was like, and that felt good to him? I'd have been like, hey. And he's handcuffed, laying there. And I would have been like, hey, can you slow down? Just a little more sensual, a little less. But then again, apparently, Eris likes a little rough. Because he wants to be dominated and wants to be slapped. I was hoping she would slap the piss out of him. Just thinking about everything that she's dealt with. Oh, you want that? Do you like this? Like way back from center field. No. But she was too scared.
Oh my God. You know, the fact that he's trying to show that side, like about the whole dominatrix and he wanted to be slapped. No, hit me harder. And I don't know why she didn't just turn. She kept trying to do it with the left hand, right? Like, okay, Jasmine didn't teach you how to fight. The best way is if you're able to, you know, so she should have used her
from
right
the hip.
Hand. Yeah.
From the hip.
You know, you gotta, so if she had to use her right hand, she would have come across and really caught him. Maybe she was afraid that he was going to hit back. But, you know, in the sense of this, though, one thing that a lot of people are saying in the chat right now, like, Precious Me says, I felt so bad Jasmine's foot was ashy, and they kept zooming in on her poor foot. YG Hall says, Eris has toddler-sized feet. Nikki B says, first Eris, then Jasmine. Where's the Vaseline? Exactly. You know, every black household has a bucket of Vaseline. That kills everything. Where was it?
I don't have Vaseline. I have just really good lotion. I don't do Vaseline. It's good lotion.
Oh, hey, boy.
Native's a good brand. Check them out if they want to be a sponsor. I'll be a supporter.
Blazing Saddle says, look like Jasmine's out here kicking baby powder. If that's the case, then Eris was kicking rocks, for real. He was breaking rocks.
they both out stomping the yard without boots. They just did it the hard way.
Oh my! Hey, I didn't look this hard, Sean. But he says Eris's toes look like fingers. Oh, Angie said, okay, Vaseline or cocoa butter.
Hold on. Nikki B said I've used olive oil before. When I ran out, Nikki's old school. That's what I'm talking about. What's that movie, The Help? Crisco.
that's what you tell people, like, yeah, I don't use suntan lotion, I use Crisco. But now I'm not sure how to pronounce it, so I'm not even gonna do it to myself. But she says, what do you put on your lips if no Vaseline, Terrell?
Chapstick.
Okay.
I'm gonna put Vaseline on my lips. I mean, I feel like that's stuff you do like when you're young and you just gotta use what's around. As an adult, I go buy some stuff that's specifically some good lip balm, some good chapstick that works well.
They leave out of this unsexy session with the sex toys and the crusty dry feet, whether it was Vaseline or shea butter or cocoa butter, or, as you say, some good lotion that they use to get all the ashiness off, and decide to go to a psychic. Why? What's the psychic going to tell them that we don't already know?
The psychic's going to tell them what the producers wanted the psychic to tell them. Here's what we need you to do. They are made for each other. Their energies and their chakras are like craving each other. Talk about Eris's grandma and tell them that, hey, your grandma talked to me, and she says she really likes Jasmine, and she's ready for you to settle down and make some grandbabies.
She said, go back and rub her feet again.
Yeah, all the things the psychic said. I was like, come on now.
Yeah.
you know, I'm not a big believer in psychic readings. I've done one just for chits and giggles. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me the producers are like, hey, here's an extra 500. Here's what we need you to say. And I need you to sell it. And she, and I'm sure as a psychic, she's like, I can really sell it for 1,000. Fine. Here's another 500. I need you to sell it. Because she did a great job of selling that these two should be together. And they are meant for each other. And I'm like, y'all are reaching really bad. Just say, hey, we made a bad match.
Yeah.
And own it.
That, well, they made a lot of bad matches. Like, a lot of people are saying, and we see this in the chat quite a bit, about the season's so long. When's it going to be over? They said from the beginning this is going to be a long season. We just didn't know it was going to be a terribly long season. Right? Yeah. That's the only problem in this. And before we move on from this couple, I just want to point out, RKN says, Vaseline is fine for life, Terrell. And Kitty says, I'm going to buy you some Vaseline so your black card won't get taken, Terrell.
Okay, hold on. Let me address that, if you will, because I've been drinking.
I knew you would.
Let me address that, if you will. If I'm walking around nice and moisturized, it doesn't matter what product I use, as long as you don't think I'm ashy. Mm-hmm. But if your go-to is Vaseline, well, that's not my go-to. Right. But I'm not ashy. I've not had any complaints about my lips. There's no woman that's going to say I have crusty lips, at least in any of the reviews I've seen on myself. I've not seen that as an issue.
Any of your Yelp reviews?
I've had other reviews, but no one has told me. It's like, you know, Terry, you're cool, but your
lips are busted. Maybe you should use some Vaseline there instead.
Yeah, you should use some Vaseline. I'm like, no, I like using my nice lotion.
So many jokes to be made. Let's
gotta have a black card to have. If I don't have Vaseline, I don't have a black card. See, black on black crime. That's what this is. This is why we can't get ahead, because we're doing this.
Oh my God, Chris and Nicole. Oh, when they get back from Gatlinburg, Nicole makes a good point when they're talking about growth and who they think grew the most and who had the most growth out of the couples. And she's like, you know what? We need to include ourselves in that equation too.
You think they didn't grow the most?
No, I don't think they did it the most. I just think that they need to be included in as well too, though. She's right. Like, we need to, what she's saying is we need to acknowledge our growth, because we really don't. We're worried about everybody else and how much they're, well, she's worried about everybody else since she's the additional, she's the bonus counselor.
Well, true. Well, and I think she's just annoying. You know, she's, when they get back to their apartment and she admits that he's not pineappled her this whole time. And, you know, then she asks, why? What am I doing? And I'm like this right here. This is why everyone else wants to pineapple you. But Chris is really being nice because he loves you. But her need for constant validation is just draining. And so Chris is like, let's just get rid of pineapples. And I thought he was talking about the word. He was like, no, all the pineapples. Let's get rid of all this in the house. All this pineapple stuff. Let's get rid of it. And so when Nicole said that men are intimidated by me, I'm like, no, they're not. They're just annoyed by you.
Okay.
Yeah, I want this couple to do well.
Exactly what I had down here for that.
See, we know each other too. I want them to do well. I am happy for Chris and Nicole, and I've been cheering them on since day one. So if Nicole ever slides through YouTube and comes across our channel, I don't want to mess up her, you know, energy and think I'm talking bad about her. But no, I don't think people are intimidated by you. They're just annoyed, because that stuff is annoying to people.
Here's the thing, though. She's not the first woman to do it. She's not the last. Because women do this all the time. Well, they're intimidated. Or, you scared? No. It's annoying. Or just not attracted. Or it's that, just because somebody doesn't put you on the pedestal doesn't mean they're scared or they're intimidated. They don't want to be around you because you pineapples, goddammit. Then it doesn't mean that they're intimidated. It means they're annoyed. And I was annoyed when she said that, because I'm just like, Jesus. Come on. Really? We have to hear this kind of stuff again? Fellas, you've heard this a number of times. Oh, you're intimidated. No. You're just annoying.
Well, and that's just it. Is people probably haven't told her that.
Yes.
And she's probably that person at the work happy hour where you meet people like, oh, wow, she's cute. And you start talking to her and you're like, oh, my God, pineapples. I can't.
Yes.
you know, and then her response is, you just can't handle a boss bitch. You can't handle somebody. It's like, no, it's not that I can't handle somebody that's an alpha female type. You're draining and annoying. And all the validation she needs is just annoying to me. But Chris loves her, and I really hope that they actually say yes on decision day and live happily ever after.
That sounds good, but Sean, a.k.a. Profound Thinker, you know, he switched up his name on here. He had said, did you catch it when she said that when she said it was a dog's toy, right? Remember the other pineapple? No, you can't take that. That's a dog's toy. And what did Chris say? I will take it to my house.
I did pick up on that. I was like, nice little dig, Chris. Nice little dig. That's cool. I'll take it to my house. That's mm-hmm. fine. So that way they can have it when they come over. But not so much our house. But
right. Still. Exactly. So that's, will they make it? I don't know. I mean, I didn't get much out of when Chris was talking to his life coach brother, Brandon, or even when Nicole was talking to her dad, because it's the same thing we've heard over and over again from them. What did you have takeaways from them in those conversations?
With Chris and his brother, I thought the car show thing was pretty dope. That car with the propeller in the front, mm-hmm. I was like, I know that's probably not functional, but it does look kind of cool. And I'm not a big car guy, mm-hmm. but I thought that was actually pretty cool. But I think Chris brought up that he's concerned about what is life like after decision day. And right. what I'm wondering is his concern or potential reservation, how much time he'll have to always keep building Nicole up? Because I feel like Chris thinks that, hey, I'm here. I'm with you, and I've told you all these things are an issue for me, but it's still in her head. And so, like, could you imagine after decision day, she's going to be like, okay, decision day happened. Was that just for TV, or do you really like me? Okay, we've been together a year, and we have our first baby, but was all that just because of the show, or do you really like me? Like, I wonder if he's thinking, am I always going to have to validate this woman? Because that is going to be draining.
Think about it. When they first got married, what happened? She was always, do you love me yet? Do you love me yet? Do you love me? And yes, it's really going to be, you can see it. And he knows it. He's like, it's been 2 months. Mm-hmm. I'm dealing with this already. Can I deal with 2 lifetimes of this? Because that's what it's going to feel like.
It is. And my gut tells me that Chris will do whatever it takes mm-hmm. to not make it seem like he didn't put in the work. And so he's just that guy that he will stay in. He was with that one woman, only slept with him, once or twice? They were together for a year?
Yeah.
And he, like, rode that wave for a long time.
Yeah, he's definitely one that, but he said it before from the very beginning. He avoids conflict and all this other stuff. And that's why they were afraid that she would run over him. But it's, the trauma bond may be breaking, man. The trauma bond may be breaking.
Yeah, because we've been saying they're going to make it, but I don't know. Chris seems like he's wavering. I really think he's still going to say yes on decision day because that's just who he is. I don't think he wants to go back into the streets and be back into the single life and deal with trying to meet somebody new who's going to put up with the fact that he's so appeasing to mm-hmm. his partners. So I don't know.
So a couple things here. Karen says, run, Chris, run. Nikki says Chris is weak sauce. Dallas Boss says Chris is unhappy, unsatisfied, and unattached. He doesn't love her. The more I see them, the more the season has gone on, I am starting to see that. Akers Engineer says, I am no longer a fan of the Chris and Nicole relationship. Because remember, we were all fans that said, oh, these two are going to make it, right? Here's what it says. She says, he appears manipulative and she's not easily likable. No, she's not likable at all. I am sure that he is using the dogs and the leash to give himself an out. It really does feel that way, doesn't it?
I don't know. I can't give Chris that much credit to say he's that manipulative. I mean, there's just nothing about Chris that tells me that he has a strategy. Where mm-hmm. he's, you know,
touché.
He's evil. I just don't see him being that person. But I do think he's someone that's going to think to himself, can I deal with this? Now, I do respect that when Nicole met with her dad, and Mark actually likes Chris, which is cool, because remember, that was the whole big deal in the early part of the season. But Mark actually likes Chris, and he's going to support Nicole in whatever decision that she makes. And then, of course, she brings up the whole living situation mm-hmm. thing. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, it is not that hard to go find a place to live together.
Right.
And if I was Chris, I'd be like, you know what? I'm holding out, not because I don't want to live with you, just you're annoying me about it.
Well, you know, it's that would be the alpha thing to do. But like Sean says, he's this beta male syndrome. And that Adrian says Chris is passive aggressive. He wants her to decide to end it. And that's because think about it. For 2 months, she's had her dog go to Florida, chill out with her dad. She hasn't seen her dog, right? Because so his dogs can be there. If they were to move in together immediately, whose dogs do you think are coming back in the house? Not hers.
Well, those are his emotional support dogs. Her dog is not an emotional support dog, apparently. Because she needs to be like, hey, go stay with my dad. I got to make sure Chris is good.
Yeah, man. This couple I thought was going to be better than where they are right now. And we thought we'd see them grow. I haven't really seen them grow a lot. And even when she said they need to give themselves some sort of credit as well. I like that she acknowledged in the beginning that, you know, I was acting like a brat, not her exact words, but, you know, at putt-putt. But in the past, I would have done this. Instead, I am proud because I stayed in and I didn't do that. And I'm like, that's great.
Growth.
But that's what you're supposed to do. You know, it's like Chris Rock said, the great philosopher Christopher Rockenstein. You know, people always want credit for stuff they're supposed to do. So,
well, she's growing. And I got to give her credit for that. Mm-hmm. And luckily, they paired her up with somebody like a Chris who's patient enough
right
to deal with that. Because you and I, we can easily say, wouldn't be us.
Right.
So more power to them. I'm hoping that they are able to work it out. And maybe here's the difference is that Chris is just kind of like, hey, let's figure it out. Nicole is this person of, we got to make a plan and we're doing this. And then in 60 days, we're doing this. And this is why that the experts pair them together.
Mm-hmm. No, that is actually a pretty good point. Here's one more point before we get off this couple here. Center stage for Gigi says, how is this crybaby ass selfish clown the victim? Because to your point, he's not the problem solver. He's the one that's going to sit there and cry about the dogs. But then again, just to go full circle on this manipulation, because you say, oh, he doesn't fit that. What if all of that is part of his manipulation and he actually faked those tears just so he could get the dogs? Because that was a pretty shitty move. Even then we said it was.
Yeah, but I think we're giving Chris way too much credit. He just doesn't come across as the manipulative type.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get that vibe. And I'm not saying it's not. I just don't get that vibe from him.
I totally get it. Something I don't get, though, this couple right here. Shaquille and Kirsten. Oh, boy.
I know you're going to make for sure that you talk about Kirsten.
Well, I'm going to let you do that since, you know, she reminds you of somebody. What did you think when she was sitting out with her brother William, though?
Sitting down with both of them talking, I'm like, Shaq, do you really want to meet her whole family? The conversation's going to be a little painful. I don't know if you really want to do that.
Wait, have you heard him talk? Okay, stop. Go ahead. Continue.
True.
Go ahead. My bad.
So she meets with her brother, and she says that when they're together, they don't have enough intentional conversations, which just, again, kind of annoys me for right now. But I have more to say about that later. Mm-hmm. And then she doesn't feel the physical connection, and she doesn't think Shaq is trying to win her over, which we agree. We don't think Kirsten is really attracted to Shaq. And from the very beginning, she wasn't into him. And so from a guy's perspective, why would I keep trying to win you over if I didn't before? What am I going to do different now? It's not going to be a different cologne. It's not going to be anything special. That's obviously going to make you wake up and be like, you know what? He cute. It's not going to happen.
Okay. For those of you who have watched this from the beginning, when they did just three couples at first, right? And watched the way they used to do this. They always had a couple that one person was more attracted to the spouse than the other. And the tables would turn. The difference is they didn't act like Shaq has acted. Shaq is such a five-year-old, man. I swear. He really has the mentality of a 5 year old in that sense. In the way he's pouting all this time now. If everybody else who had gotten to that point, they knew how to. Okay, well now they're trying. Yeah, I'm a little pissed off, but let's go ahead and move forward and let's see if we can make this work. And if he's gotten the cookie like he said he has, like he was so proud to stand up on the table, beat his chest, and say he did, and get dap from Eris for doing that. It had to be a one-time deal because there's no way he's still getting it acting like that.
Maybe he didn't like the cookie. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've all had cookies. We're like, mm-mm. Who made these?
Take it back.
And you eat it, but I'm only going to have one. I made you a dozen. No, I can only do one. I'm fasting tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, I'm fasting. So maybe that's it. You know, for her to not feel the physical connection, and she doesn't think that's Shaq's trying to win her over. And I think William was trying to say, hey, well, you got to understand he has his job. He has his school, he has his family, all these different things that are about Shaq. And yeah, you got to find balance. But I find that if people really like somebody, they find balance in their life for that person. And I just don't think Shaq really likes her that much to want to put effort into finding that balance.
What happened was what she did to him after they got married and all the way through the honeymoon, when he got back home, he's like, I'm going to put myself in this and I'm going to keep putting you to the test. The test is you come with me and see if you want to be seen in public with me at my job, around my coworkers and my students. And he's kind of checked out because she was like, nah, I'm good. But, you know, here's the thing. She said she was going to finally introduce him to the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming to find is supposed to be a really small part of it because it's going to be the mama and the brother. And then we find out. But she says, well, you know, I'm also thinking about taking him over to meet dad. And now I think we know why he met the dad. Because you heard a brother like, you know, you got to be really sure before you take him to see dad.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the deal. In Shaq's defense, if that's the case, if that's the issue, it's like, I need to be 100% sure before you go meet my dad. Say that. You know, yeah, totally say that. And that's fine. I think any man would understand, yeah, that's a valid point. I totally get it. But for whatever reason, she's not brought the family around. But now she decides to have a get-together at the family's house. And apparently her brother, who must be a CEO of some company because he's so busy, so he can't get off the night shift and can't come over to hang out and meet Shaq. Yeah, I said it. All of a sudden, he can't get off his shift at Amazon and go over there and go meet Shaq and just have dinner with the fam because he's too busy for 2 months. Come on now.
Well, I mean, let's, and that's the kind of conversation that Shaq was having with his friend Sherman. You know, like he's like, yeah, well, mentally we had a 6-7, but I just want to be included in Kirsten's life. No, you want her in your life. You want her all through yours. And you see where he's again, this 5-year-old kid that's acting out because he did it with his friend Sherman. Then when they get back to the house and she comes in and is like, hey, well, you want me to help you cook? And, you know, what do you want me to do? And she's trying to be nice and try to have a conversation. And he goes back into his 5-year-old temper tantrum and just shuts down. And what do you mean they couldn't come over for 2 months? People have lives. They're not on the show. They're not getting paid to be on the show. They don't have a $50,000 fine on them if they don't show up for the show. So we got shit to do.
Well, right. I mean, so she finally says, hey, I'm bringing the family over. And I like how she was like, I'm just going to have one pancake because I already had chicken and waffles because you're trying to fluff me up. I was like, then why have the one pancake? You're totally not. No one's forcing you to do that on yourself.
You leave Kirsten alone.
But I'm just saying, I just thought it was funny. It's that's the dark liquor talking. he's trying to fluff me up, but I'll eat one. I just had chicken and waffles, but one more pancake won't hurt. So she says she's inviting the family over. And then I'm annoyed at Shaq because I'm like, damn, Shaq, she's inviting the family over. Mm-hmm. And now you're complaining why it took so long.
Yes, and then, exactly.
So I was like Team Kristen
Shaq
on that
is
comment.
Half glass half empty.
I was Team Kirsten on that comment because I was like, damn, Shaq, why are you tripping? And then she's like, well, they've been busy.
Let's give you a round of applause for that, because the fact that you're actually on Kirsten's side, I got it. give you a little bit, a little golf
for one comment that she said. I was team Kirsten for one comment. I gave you the opposite of a feedback sandwich about Kirsten. I didn't like the whole pancake thing. I like what she did about this, and now I'm about to get her again. Because when Shaq says, why did it take so long? She's like, the family schedules. I'm like, wait a minute. Your family's been that busy for 2 months that they couldn't take time to come meet and have a cup of coffee with the man that married their daughter. Sister, niece. They're that busy that you can't even do a cup of coffee? Bullshit.
Okay. Let's be fair, though. And I'm going to pull up something else from Kirsten's side. And the producers did as well. Because Kirsten is telling Shaq, like, you know, sometimes she even wonders if Shaq, she wonders if Shaq even likes her. And you see what she means. He walks in the house. Hey, you want me to make you something? I'm fine. And I, hey, what are you doing? What do you got going on? How was your day? Here's, again, a five-year-old, man. Really a five-year-old.
But would you not be the same way to somebody who marries you, tells you they're not attracted to you, doesn't want to kiss you, doesn't really want to touch you, and then you got to live together or else you potentially risk having to pay $50,000?
You know, so, yeah, you got to come home from work
just like, whatever.
Well, apparently they tried to work on this before the family dinner and they went to church. Where was the congregation? Where was the pastor? Where was anybody in the church besides the camera crew?
They went to church. It doesn't mean they went to a service. They went to the church. And they had the camera crews in there because the pastor, I'm sure, didn't want... Bishop didn't want all them camera crews in there because they're not getting paid for it.
Right. So.
You know, so I was curious about that, too, because I'm like, wait a minute. So y'all make this big deal of dressing up to go to church, to sit in the pews by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I get it. The church wasn't really down for all that. Yeah, all this stuff for production. I totally get it.
I will say this. You brought it up last week, and this is the time that I noticed it. And so apparently did everybody else. Nubian Mahogany says, if I hear the word like one more time, I'm going to scream. Because that's all Shaq said as he was sitting there. And she said, like she said, he used the word like 500 times tonight. He really did. He really did. I counted.
He did. Yeah. His vocabulary is really bad. Well, or the way he communicates is really bad.
Oh, no, let's stick to the vocabulary.
I said something negative about one of my frat brothers. Fine, I did it. But we all know I'm still not a Kirsten fan. but, you know, they get through that whole conversation when they're cooking. Before, I know this is before church, but they're cooking and talking about what I told my brother. And I thought that whole conversation, both of them, like, this is why y'all are both terrible at communicating with each other. Because she felt all this stuff, and apparently that's the first time Shaq heard about it. And I'm like, if you didn't like those things about Shaq, why didn't you say something before?
They've been staying up to 3 a.m. I'm sure it came up at some point.
I don't think they're talking. I just think they're just staying up. Just looking at each other, I guess. I have no idea what they're staying up late doing, but they're definitely not communicating. And so then you got the buildup to the whole family dinner. I'm like, all right, let me see what this dynamic is going to be like.
Why did it never eat at the table? They never eat. They're always sitting on the couch eating.
No, I did see him at the table. Remember that time when she was eating a salad and it was falling out of her mouth and he was trying to talk about the house soon? Yeah, that was at the table.
They weren't sitting at the table. She was. He was standing up. But so when Kirsten's mom comes in, she's the only one that shows up, right? When Shaq said, is my walls up? Do you think Kirsten's mom was wanted to look at him and say, took your ass back to college?
No, because Kirsten's mom to me was just as boring as Kirsten. I mean, it just seemed awkward. The conversation just really seemed awkward. So I didn't expect a lot out of that. But I do have to give Kirsten's mom some credit. Mm-hmm. Where did I put those notes? So the fact that no one else showed up to meet Shaq, I totally agree with Shaq and why he looks at that as a red flag. I do, too. I do think that's a big red flag. But her mom gave some good words of wisdom, pretty much saying, let your expectations down. Right. Take the wall down. You know, y'all have only been really 2 months in a traditional relationship. You'd have had time to build all this stuff.
Right.
And so all this stuff that Shaq's like, when does it start to intertwine? And which I don't know about all that intertwining stuff, but it doesn't happen in 2 months. You know, I've never met any people that are married and happy, and 2 months in, everything about their lives intertwined. It was just perfect. You're going to constantly learn and grow from what I'm hearing from people who are married. You are married, so obviously you have the beans of light and the you know, you've eaten the apple and you understand way more things than I could ever understand. But still.
There's a joke in there. I'm going to leave it alone. Dina says, Kirsten's mom seemed like she just woke up. Which just goes right along with what High Vibe said. Her mom looks like she smoked Newports. You almost spit that brown out, didn't you?
I was waving her on to light up a Newport and be like, Jody.
Oh my God. That was hilarious. You know, Adrian says, I like Kirsten's mom's advice. She just needs to give it to some other couple who will stay married. True. And Audrey says, hey, Kirsten's mom was coming from work, which that's what I thought too. I'm assuming it looks like she might be a nurse in the medical field somewhere. And Sean says, Virginia Slims. Nah, old it looked school. Like Newports.
It'd be like my dad. Those are some more menthols. That's what she's used to, is an old school menthol cigarette.
Might have been cool. Could have been cool. That might have been what it was. These two, man, I mean, it's just it's a couple of things before we move on from them, too. You know how we talked about the fact that they can't obviously still be having sex on the regular. And that's what DJ says. No way are they having sex regularly and acting the way they do with each other. The way these two, it seems like they had one sliver of a good time and then all of a sudden it just disappeared. And they're back to, and it's like the communication got worse after they said they consummated it. This is why I doubt they even really did it. And this was something that I saw in the live chat a couple times ago when this first came out about them consummating the marriage. And a couple people were saying they may not have even done it. I don't think they did. I think they just said it to get everybody off their case. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, Kirsten told the girls after, like, hey, you know, he ain't tapped nothing. He ain't even tapped the door.
I am delivered. We had sex.
Mimi has another suggestion, though. Maybe the sex was just trash.
Could been. What if it was just trash on both of them? Like, we've all been there. What if you just you slept together and realized, wow, this is not what we're about? Yeah. Like, friends, we could be really cool, but we don't have that chemistry to do this. And maybe that's where they landed. Who knows?
Well, you know, sometimes you try to put a square peg in a round hole, it just doesn't work. And see, Gamora, what? Gamora says, nothing, I don't think all. They had sex. You like that one, didn't you?
Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I just don't know. I just saying that, hey, regardless, they're not really, all of us can agree, we don't think they're having sex now.
They're definitely not having sex now. You know who else isn't having sex now? Clint and Gina. These two right here, man. Well, you know, we get back from Gatlinburg and Clint is out with his main ginger, Hank, riding around, going to the coffee shop, getting a pup cup. I've never heard of this before. Cups. What the hell is a pup cup?
You never heard of a pup cup?
Hell, why would
it's
I?
A little, because you don't like dogs. I forget. Damn, so you wouldn't know. Pup cup is just a little cup with some whipped cream that you give the dog. They hook the dog up at Starbucks while the adults have their frappuccinos, lattes, whatever. So now the dog feels they're included. So.
Yes, because the dog was in their feelings. The dog was Shaq because it wasn't getting anything from the drive through. Come on, stop it.
The dog was happy to be with Clint. Looked like a happy dog.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you notice that this whole episode, Gina didn't have a ring on?
I didn't notice that. I didn't even look. But why would she? What irritated me about this episode with her was the fact that she was like, well, maybe this can make our marriage work. Maybe this can give us a spark. Stop lying. We don't believe you. Stop it.
It's not, but I noticed that Gina didn't have a ring on the whole time. And I kept looking every time they put it on camera. all the way to the end of the show, she didn't have a ring on. Mm-hmm. So that tells me where her mind's at right there. But I made the note, Clint and Hank forever. I hope that they say no at Decision Day, but Hank winds up going to be with Clint instead of Gina. Gina has to find, you know, a new dog.
Somebody else to terrorize?
Yeah, someone else to terrorize.
What did you think of the conversation with Clint and his other buddy, McKinley? Because, you know, knowing what we know what, because for some reason they've been showing us this thing all season long. So we know this, and we know it's about to get awkward. So didn't the convo feel weird when they're sitting there, and then McKinley's off to the side like, well, you know, I think there was attraction. I was attracted to Gina. I mean, I think, you know, they could have just swapped wives. Maybe it'll work that way for them, right?
So I laughed at that whole deal because, to your point, knowing what we know, I'm like, Mac asked if any moves have been made. He's trying to check boxes like, have you hit it yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, I have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sliding her DMs. So I think Matt was just like snooping to see what he could find out to determine if it was okay to slide the DMs. Are they really going to be together? Are they just kind of faking the whole deal? Mac, and then when he said that he wished he and Gina were matched, I was like, why?
He finds her attractive.
But he said they're both successful entrepreneurs. I'm like, you can't say you're successful entrepreneurs when you live in someone's extra basement room.
That's how he
and you haven't
money.
Done your stuff on there. Is that what it is? He's frugal.
Exactly. That's all.
Okay. So he's frugal. So I think Mac was really trying to feel out to see if he has a shot.
Yes.
At going after that. And Clint telling Mac to get back out there. And he just doesn't realize Mac is trying. Mm-hmm. Gina.
Yeah, it really was. Now, here's the thing. Allison says wife swap happened in Married at First Sight UK. They should try it here. And you know what? I don't put it past them. And they're probably going to do that next time. We watched how it happened on Love is Blind where they brought other matches back in that didn't make a proposal when they brought, what's that guy's name? Josh back for Marshall and your girl, Jackie. So in that space, next season, that may be the twist they throw in there too. So we'll see. Supergirl says Mac is a snake. He's slivering, trying to bite into Gina. Yes, he really is.
That's what it sounds like.
And
definitely
Precious,
what it sounds like.
Precious Me says the weed man and the hairdresser sounds like a match.
So speaking of hairdressing, so then Gina gets Clint to get a haircut. So mm-hmm. apparently Clint's been cutting his own hair for 8 years. Not mm-hmm. knocking that. I did the same for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets the hairdresser, and I was wondering, like, okay, is this going to be something that sparks something with Gina about him? Or is she going to find him more attractive now that he has the Bradley Cooper mm-hmm. cut? And in my mind, I'm like, then, and that's the moment I noticed she didn't have a ring on.
Mm.
And then I kept looking. I was just like, yeah, no, she's done.
Yeah. Well, we knew that. We knew that. And let's be honest. What she did, she got him a haircut, like you said, a Jesus to Bradley Cooper, as what's the guy's name, Brandon, who did it, cut his hair, said. I'm just glad that Gina cleaned Clint up for Dominique so that, you know, when he goes in for the kiss, she's, you know, like, oh, I like your new cut, you know.
Because if Gina really liked him, she'd have cut his hair herself.
Yeah, she'd have made it sexy.
Right.
Well, if she could.
You saw sexy her.
Whatever, well, you saw her pole dancing. She doesn't have an ounce of sexy. Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper came to visit. Dr. Pepper asked them to watch a couple of movies before they went to Gatlinburg. And then, you know, they did absolutely none of the homework. And did you notice that when Dr. Pepper's like, well, if I'd said do this for $3,000, who stepped up to the plate and said, you know what, you're actually right. Because Gina was sitting there like,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
It could have been $1 million. Gina had been like, I'm all set. Thank you. I'm all good. So I'm glad that Dr. Pepper, you like Dr. Pastor. I'm glad that Dr. Pepper called that out.
Because
they didn't try any
Doug.
Of the work. And then when Clint was saying his little BS thing, like, yeah, you know, we really want to try this and we're doing it. Y'all don't want to be close together. There's nothing that you both want to do to spark the romance and to spark the intimacy in your relationship, just call it quits. And then Pastor Cal comes in and asks, you know, so you're saying that what y'all both want out of life is just not compatible.
Right.
And I couldn't wait to hear the responses from that. And then that's when it took a little bit of a dive.
It definitely took a dive because, you know, here's the thing about it. Right before that, they asked them, like, wait a minute. In the beginning at the wedding, y'all were kissing and touching and all this other stuff. And they're like, oh, we're just in a minute. It was just in a moment. And basically, Pastor Cal was like, y'all just wasting our time, huh? And then that's when Gina went, well, thank you for that cue. Let me tell you why. And then she just jumps off the cliff.
Pulls out her notes. Well, you know, Clint even admitted that they don't have that physical desire to be romantic. Mm-hmm. But then Gina starts to go down the path of she doesn't like the fun energy. Well, this is just the crazy thing I've heard. She doesn't like the fun energy that Clint has, that you're funny, everybody likes you, you're like the life of a party, but to me, it's kind of an embarrassment. I was like, what kind of crap is that? So you don't want a guy that's super social and can work a room. So that bothered her about him. And she says she never felt like a wife. Now, she brings up the cooking. And that was the thing that just shocked me.
I'm shocked that Dr. Pepper didn't call her out on that. You see, and this is why when people keep saying stuff like this, like Mona says, Married at First Sight needs new experts. Kendra says they need new experts, tired of them. This is exactly why. Because remember, the last time Dr. Pepper was there, they talked about the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Gina, now Dr. Pepper gave some advice last time, right? Gina today is like, well, yeah, well, he cooks, but I think he's just cooking for him. I just happen to be there. I never feel like he's actually cooking for me. Woman, are you eating?
Thank you.
Is he making food for just one? Because he can. He can make food for one, but no, he's cooking for you too. But I don't feel like he asked me what I want. Didn't Dr. Pepper tell her, I know you help him, but what about you make a meal for him? I don't think she's made a glass of water for him.
No, not at all. And the fact that he's doing that effort, hey, babe, you worked all day. Let me cook. Mm-hmm. I got this. When you come home, I'll have dinner ready. And yeah, maybe he's cooking what he likes because maybe he knows you can't cook or your cooking's terrible. Mm-hmm. And that's a positive. I've dated people in my life who couldn't cook. And I'm like, you better be really good at washing the dish because I'm not doing both, you know, but maybe that could be the arrangement. But to me, that's him showing he cares because he's putting in the work to cook for you.
Right.
But I've never in my life, I would be so pissed if I put in the effort to cook for somebody and they're like, yeah, but are you doing that for me or do you just like to cook?
You know what?
I'm like, you know what? You don't eat them. Give me that plate.
That's the petty in me too. Because I'm, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. Hey, what's for breakfast? I don't know. What I'm having is one egg.
Yeah. One I'm having the New York strip, asparagus, and potatoes I made last night that you complained about. That's what I'm eating for breakfast. What are you doing? And I don't have cereal, so you might as well get you some coffee and some juice.
Yeah.
And watch me eat.
Because that was, oh my God. That was so bad. I really am mad that they didn't call her out on that. Because the fact that she did it, it's crazy. But she really goes in on him. Clint feels attacked, and rightfully so. And
yeah. Well, and then the experts ask her, what could he have done to show you that he was being intentional about you? Oh, I really don't know. See, that's bullshit.
Because like Dallas Boss is talking about, love languages are different. Yes, they are. And that's Clint's love language is doing stuff. He likes to do stuff for people, right? And that's why for him doing that, your cooking, it's something he enjoys doing and cool with that, right? If that's not what she likes, but she's not telling him anything that she really likes anyway. Oh, he's got to go find it? No. You're not going to just find out what somebody's love language is. Just call a conversation.
Right. And just tell somebody that, hey, I appreciate that you're cooking, but here's what I need to feel loved by you. What do you need to feel loved by me? Now you're having some dialogue. Now you're being vulnerable. Now you're being open. To me, that's what all this stuff is about. But Clint is just doing the things that he thinks should be okay. And to me, I would never be upset if somebody cooked for me and I'm just like, ugh, you're cooking for me again. I bet you'd cook for anybody. If your mom was here, would you cook for her too? Of course you would. Yeah, I just don't like her. Don't like Gina at all.
Apparently, because you know we don't get a chance to watch the after party, especially today, because it's an hour long today. Mona says on the after party last week, Keisha gave Clint some of her seasonings. Hopefully, he's put them to use. Hopefully, they're not still.
I did see that last week. I did see that, but I agree because I'm just like, man, that's a lot of carrots in a potato salad. I don't know what you're doing. I mentioned it last week. Need some Tony Satcheries. You got to put some on that meat. But the fact that he's putting in the effort to cook, I would never be upset if somebody did that for me. But for Gina's attitude, I mean, it's just shitty.
So two things here. One, Acuz Engineer says Gina wanted the spotlight. She's miffed that Clint has it instead of her. And that could be the reason why she kind of went off. Because he felt blindsided, right? Mm-hmm. And that really just kind of put... So she kind of knocked him off the pedestal a little bit with that. And maybe, you know, trying to elevate herself in that same space. But Audrey has a great question. Why not ask Gina what she likes? But he didn't know it was a problem, though.
But we don't know if he did or didn't.
Right.
We don't know if he said, hey, I'm thinking about making salmon mm-hmm. or some roasted chicken. Mm-hmm. What do you prefer? What do you feel like eating tonight? And she might be like, I don't know. And then he just makes a decision. Great, we're having salmon.
Yeah.
I'll have it hooked up. Dinner will be ready at 7.
Look, Nikki B has a great point. Clint's cooking and taking care of the dog frees her up to talk about her salon, so she should be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anybody should be happy. The fact that if you had a long day, regardless of what you do for a living, you have a long day and you don't have to come home to cook, and somebody's cooking for you, even if they're cooking their favorite thing that they like, that you also like, because she did say that she likes his cooking.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if she didn't like his cooking, but she does. Be thankful.
Yes, Dina, you're absolutely right. Gina likes hair dye and extensions. Hilarious, man.
Gotta get the Botox.
Sophia, that's funny. Gina likes the salon, period. She barely likes Hank. Yeah, Hank, that's why Hank loves Clint so much, man. Those two, again, it's just like, that dog is like, do I have to go back?
100%. And I agree with Sinan's fan. I've never met a woman who complains about a man cooking. Get the fuck out of here. That's so true. Because in my dating life, I've dated people and like, I'm going to make dinner. Like, I've never had someone cook for me. I'm like, what? Like, right. You were married or you're how old? No one's ever cooked for you? I'm like, yeah, I don't mind doing it. But if a guy cooks for you, he really likes you. And I think Clint has been trying this whole time. Even though he knows she's not interested, she's not feeling him, I feel like Clint has put his best foot forward every chance that he had. And so for her to blindside him with the experts and to be on the show all day today with no ring on, that just, to me, is a slap in the face.
Hey, Mrs. Smith, I feel you. She said, that's how my husband won me over. He enjoys cooking and I enjoy his creations. She's ungrateful. She being Gina, ungrateful. Yeah, I mean, because look, if it's what you like to do, those are the things, like, I like to cook. So I'm in the kitchen all the time, you know, so.
Yeah. I like to cook, but it's because I'm a control freak, so I like to make what I like. And it's going to be seasonal that I like. So that's how I get away with my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, babe, I'm going to cook tonight. Don't worry about anything. I got it. Because I'm going to cook what I want, but also I know she's going to like it because my cooking is pretty good. But times that she cooks for me.
And the chef is modest,
it's
too.
It's amazing.
You know, that part.
Yeah. The times it cooks for me, it's amazing. The fact that I can work and I don't have to figure out what I'm going to eat. Just the fact that people do acts of service, even if acts of service is not your love language, if people do things for you, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you don't, they can easily stop. And then you got to complain because they're not doing X, Y, Z.
You know, so shout out to all the fellas who stand up and say, because Nubian says, when a man cooks, that is so sexy to me. Precious Me says, a man that cooks is the greatest thing on the planet. So fellas who are cooking, know that. The women love it. And if you're not cooking, then you might want to go ahead and start cooking.
You might. If the cat's not fed at home, they go digging in the garbage.
Yeah, and we've been cooking for people for a long time. Back in college with those paper thin steaks. Ooh, steak. It's actually more like a a steak flavored sheet of paper, really.
We thought we were balling on that. And then you and your anti-vegetables, we'd buy those like little Lipton broccoli cheese rice, and you would literally try to, with your fork, pull all the broccoli.
Yep, sure. And you know what? And this is how, here's why it's a good thing. It didn't work for me, but my little girl loves broccoli. Loves it. Loves it. I don't know why. Look, if she didn't look exactly like me, I'm going to have a conversation with my wife. Like, all right.
I'm like, glad that she eats vegetables, because I was worried about that, because you can't pass that trait down that you don't eat fruits and vegetables. I'm like, that's bad.
Look, she got that from her mama. Oh, you know that. couple of things in here, man, before we get out of here. Dina pointed this out earlier. Petroleum jelly causes cancer, right? So for everybody talking about you and your Vaseline. So Dina's on your side there.
Thank you.
High Vibe said earlier, Eris has some 1892 cheekbones. Yo, you know what's so funny about that? When you look at those pictures of those paintings from back then, you're like, you know what? Oh my God, hilarious. Allison said, I demand a do-over. Let's shuffle the couples and start the season over. No. Let's shuffle them out and bring in some new couples, because yeah, we're done with this season.
No new couples, because I can't go another 6 weeks of just new weddings and honeymoons just to get to the fact that the experts pick badly again.
Right.
No.
So here's an interesting thing here, right? Let's see. Audrey says, Shaq says they were having sex from the get-go. Him and Kirsten were having sex from the get-go, right? I guess that was on the after party. He kind of talked about that. Interesting, right? I mean, and if that was the case, because remember, she was saying she wasn't attracted to him, so did she just go like, all right, well, Terrell says that, you know, since I've given it up to other people and they didn't say I do, I should give it up to Shaq, so let me just give it up to him. Regardless, whether they did it then or not, they're definitely not acting like they're still having sex. And JD may have a solution. She said, Kirsten said, that ain't 8 inches.
Look, maybe they tried and realized, hey, this isn't going to work out, but let's just get through this whole thing together.
I mean, are we really going to believe Shaq in this day and age anyway right now? And Allison asked this question. I want you to answer this. What does having sex have to do with the way they are behaving? And she may have missed why we said that this thing about them having sex, they obviously can't still be having sex, acting this way.
Okay. My opinion is you can put up with a lot if you're having sex with somebody that you enjoy.
No, if you're having good sex, yes.
Yeah, that's enjoy it. That's what enjoy means. Grammar police. If you're enjoying having sex, but you can put up with some of their BS, but also it helps create some of that closeness and chemistry with the person, that connection with the person. So there's a lot of positives to it. You can have all the connection you want, but the sex is bad. Then it's like, it's easy to start to slowly check out of that relationship.
Right. Exactly. And I think there are a lot of people who can, and there's some people who, regardless, if it doesn't matter how good the sex is, you don't like somebody. And here's the thing. If you don't like somebody, I always say kissing is actually even more intimate than sex at times, right? Because it is a very intimate thing. And one of the things that they weren't doing was kissing. Like Nikki says, she wouldn't kiss him, though they were having sex in the beginning. Cap. I'm with you, Nikki. I don't think they were really having sex. DJ says, don't believe him. I don't care that he says it on the after party. I want to see him say it in front of her. I want to see this at the reunion when she goes, yeah, nah, we really, because like Black Tornado says, the thought of them doing it is so unappealing.
yeah, because she's going to, are you going to make for sure that I finish this time? You want me to make for sure that you enjoy yourself? I've never heard make for sure.
You know, so Sophia has a great point here. Season one. One couple was always having sex and still said no. I think they may have had sex once and not again. And they may have. Now, Terrell, here's a question for you from Lois Lane. And obviously, because if it's Lois Lane, she's been with Superman. So the question is, what's bad sex?
I think for guys, we can't answer that. Hey, for guys, we don't really know. I mean, did we finish? It was awesome.
You selfish bastard.
I'm just saying, I don't know how to answer that.
Oh my God. And before we get out of here, Kitty asked, Yanni, did you have the shelter in place today? No, I didn't. I was actually out of downtown by the time I got that notification. But otherwise, I probably would have been right downtown. But it wasn't close to our building, even though they did shut our building down too. So, and that's talking about the shooter that was in Atlanta today. In a building, I think there were three people in ICU, and one passed and three in ICU. So,
yeah, I texted you when I saw that because I was just like, hey, because it just said building. And I'm just like, wait a minute, you good?
And then what'd you say after that? All right, F you. Talk to you tonight. No. Oh, look, people are trying to answer for it too, in this thing too, about what's bad sex? Slam bam, thank you, ma'am. Bad sex is if it only lasts 1 minute.
No, he said if I only last 1 minute. I'm like, so it's good for you, Sean.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Look,
bad for the lady. That's my point.
Is it though? Or, ladies, that should be a compliment.
It's a compliment to the chef. I'm like, whatever you cooking down there was awesome.
If I eat the food and my eyes roll immediately, that means the food is good. I'm just saying.
whatever you did down there, mwah, that was awesome. Now let me just
go to sleep. Wake me up. High Five says bad sex is 5 strokes.
Okay, but that's bad for you, but that's my whole point. For guys, not really bad for us.
Nikki B says limp, no stroke, no eye contact, quick pumper, etc. Well, look, if you listen to the R&B songs of today, right? And see, obviously everybody's here from the 90s R&B era where they actually talked about some kind of love in there. But the R&B of today is... everything is hidden from the back, so there's no eye contact unless you're in a mirror.
Nikki, I think you got to find like guys that really like women because there's not a lot of...
Look, Mr. Don't Play, oh boy. Yeah. He says, star fishing. Drywalls and women having no rhythm is bad sex for men. So,
oh, no, because, okay, but Mr. Don't Play, if you still finish... Even if she's starfished and no rhythm, but you still, because you can like, you know, replay someone else in your head. You watching a different movie than what's on the TV screen, if you know what I'm saying. Like you're thinking about someone else. Yeah, she just lay there, but yet you finished. Still win.
Yeah. Hey, to wrap this all up, Sean says, Bernie Mac said it's only 21 strokes. 7 on the top, 7 from the back, 7 from the side.
All right, Sean, you need to focus and stop counting. You need to focus. Maybe you'll last longer than a minute if you start to focus and stop counting strokes.
Oh, my God. You guys are too much fun, man.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Turn. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Turn. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness. Oh, man.
JD says that brown liquor is kicking in, tail.
Cheers.
It's all gone now. Look, hey, shout out to everybody who was hanging out with us tonight, man. Look, if you made it this far, please do us a favor and click the like button. And if you're watching after the stream, make sure you join the convo in the comment section as well, too. And if you're not subscribed, please hit the subscribe button and hit the bell for notifications as well.
Definitely. Please do that. Sean, stop counting. I'm tell you like Mr. Miyagi. Focus. Look, I. Look, I.
Hey, in the words of Dallas Boss, good night, everyone. It's been fun. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers with your empty glass.
I got it.